clarification. We left off yesterday. We analyzed Shitas Rashi in light of the difficult questions that were posed against Rashi by Rabbi Natan and by the Bali Taisvus. Basically, Rashi learned the sugya of Gimel Noshim Shamshus B'moch to mean that there's some kind of a heter going on. If there's a heter going on, then the implication is that there was some kind of an issa to begin with. So Taisvus got stuck as to what exactly the issa was and what exactly the nature of the heter is. So basically, Taisvus asked the question, Mimonoshach against Rashi. That if we're talking about a moch pre-tashmish, so then we have a serious problem, because a moch pre-tashmish should be aser under all circumstances, because that's like the equivalent of a makal zar al-eitzen al-avonim. So what's the possible heter? How can you even dream of being mutter for anybody to do such a thing? And rather, if Rashi is referring to a moch post-tashmish, then what was the issur in the first place? Because b'marashah, what could possibly be the moment of issur? From the vantage point of the man, he's having regular tashmish, what could go wrong? From the vantage point of the woman, so the woman's removing the zera afterwards or something, that's not a problem, because Tosis is assuming that women are not muzharas, so not altogether. So Tosis therefore threw Rashi into a tizzy. That's been manavshach. Either it's totally yasa, it's totally mutter, but that line, that tightrope that Rashi is walking, that's normally yasa for these women is mutter, that was very, very difficult. So the re came to the defense of Rashi in two different ways. So yesterday we spent a lot of time focusing on the first way. We didn't finish that yet. As soon as we finish that, then we'll move on to the second way. So the Ri comes to defend Rashi by saying that Hocha B'mayaskinim we're dealing with, it's in fact Imoch pre-Tashmish. And there's some very, very serious issue involved. And this is to the extent of a Pasul Chumash. It's Mamash Maisev Oinan. It's Matal Zahal Eitzim Al-Avonim. It's a disaster. If it's such a disaster, so it should be overkill. So why is it what? Why are the Gimel Nashim Hashem shows? So the Taisus Rid and Ramesh elaborated upon the Taisus Rid, basically began to develop for us the Yisoid within the Issa of Ashkos Zera, that the key word in the Issa of Ashkos Zera is really Hotzah Zera Levatola. Anything that halakhically is called Levatola is a problem. Anything that doesn't meet those criteria of being Levatola automatically is going to translate it to become Mutter. The question is, what constitutes Levatola, what doesn't constitute Levatola? So this sounds like a pretty good not Levatola, because the options are closing on you very, very fast. To say that the couple, again, this is Rabbi Meir speaking, to say the couple should have regular tashmish, medical, the doctor say can't do that, it's too dangerous. To say the couple should separate for the next 2 years, that's not an option. The Torah says you can't do that. The onus of yigra, she hands are tied. So that's called the tzarech. In the chatzarech, that's the source for the kula of Gimel Noshim Misham Shas B'moich. Where was the source of this idea? Where do we find in Chazal such an idea? So that's what Tezis read, and the Ramesh refers you back to that sugya in Lamedalad in Yevamos. The sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that we happen not to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer held, you could do the ultimate erva oinan. Mamas dash b'fim zorim b'chutz. She'im lecha b'shichas ayatz agol amizah, and it's still mutter because that's considered to be a tzarech. And Ramesh explained that the Chachamu disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. They didn't disagree in principle. They also subscribed to this tzarech story. They just disagreed in the application to the case of Zerubbabel from Zerubbabel Mechutz, because the time is off, that he's being Moitzi Zera at a time when the Mitzvah Zona is already technically over. So that was Ramesh's whole theory yesterday. So at the end of the shir yesterday, we followed in the Taisus Rid's footsteps and Ramesh's footsteps to analyze that very, very difficult Gemara Maseches Nedarim, which is really part of the beginning of this whole picture. There's a steering Gemaras, what seems to be an outright steering Gemaras, to the Gemara Maseches Nedarim and the Gemara Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos, in describing what Maisei Erva Oinan is, so the Gemara says that Biyishla Kederach is an outright violation of Maisei Erva Oinan. As the Gemara says, it's like a Veshichas Arza, it's a Matal Zarlitzer, it's a disaster. Biyishla Kederach is Mamash Asa, Nisagoma. On the other hand, the Gemara Maseches Nedarim, at the end of the second parak, says it's Hetagoma. When Mamash tells a story, and the Gemara says, Rabbi Pasuk, Chet HaGomer, Ki Gechishisha, Teri Tir Lucha, it's Mutar, finished, end of discussion. So how do you miyashav these two Gemaras? One Gemara says it's an Issa Gomer, Issa Deraisa, the other Gemara says it's Chet HaGomer. So we saw, at the very end of the shiur yesterday, that the Ri has two different approaches to this dilemma. So one of the approaches of the Ri is, really the simpler of the two, is to say it's Bechlal not Astira. The Gemara never said in the Darim that it's mutter to be moti zera shalaki derech. The Gemara just said the maisa bia shalaki derech is mutter. That's mutter. Everything's mutter. The proven answer. So what's the source for the answer? There's no answer. So that's what the Gemara in the Darim says. It's mutter. It's finished. Whether it's a good idea, whether it's a nice idea, whether it's a good thing to do, you can discuss that. You can philosophize. But in terms of an isser, the Gemara in the Darim says the maisa bia shalaki derech can't answer it. On the other hand, if you're moti zera in that way, it's mamash nisa erva, and that's nisa deraisa. that may be a good enough reason maybe not to do it in the first place, because maybe it's not just not a good policy. But in terms of, can you answer it without Tzor Zera? You can't answer it. Without Tzor Zera is an Issa Gomer Deraisa. That's the first prime of the reason. That's a very, very simple terence. It's the second terence of the Re that left us baffled yesterday, at the very end of the Shia. The Oidim Re, that it's Mutter, and when the Gemara Nedarim says it's Mutter even without Tzor Zera, once in a while. Derech HaKroi B'Alma. If it becomes a regular action, then it becomes an Issa Deraisa of Tzor Zera Levatola. Whoever does such a thing, it's also it's mutter. Make up your mind: is it chazer or not chazer? If it's chazer, you can't even chazer once. If it's not chazer, you can do it 100 times. What's pshat in this rib? Pillay in this re. How could the re use that in the asher that this is? So Rav Moshe said that the answer to the re is based on this entire yisaid. This is what we left off yesterday. It comes Rav Moshe and says, the nature of the yisur of otzah zera, the key phrase is levatola. It has to be that there is no legitimate reason as to what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing. Er v'oinen had azachash b'ainis, those were illegitimate reasons. The Torah does not accept that as a valid excuse for l'hachashas yofya, that he didn't want his wife to become pregnant because she didn't look attractive. That's not acceptable. It's not. A normal couple gets married, so a woman gets pregnant, so you deal with it. That's not acceptable. Oinen chash b'ainis. If you don't want to have a baby, the baby's going to be al-shem, his brother, so the oilam is hagagulim, and maisach, rambans, and all that. Not acceptable. Whenever it's not an acceptable teretz, it becomes called levatola. Unless we could justify it with some halachic justification, it's called levatola. When it's levatola, then it's a nisid deraisa. That's exactly what Tzor Zera levatola is all about. Comes Rav Moshe and says, a man has this idea in his head, he wants to be bol shelo kederach. Is it a good thing, a bad thing? You can philosophize about it. But he has this time, he has this desire to do it. It's not intrinsically asur. Can we asur it and call it Hotzor Zera Levatola? Sakhtar Moshe, no. You can't call it Levatola. He's not doing it to prevent his wife from becoming pregnant. He doesn't have these all internal. He has one simple reason. We call it, it's a taiva. It's a taiva. So, a taiva is things that are asur, it depends what they are. If I have a taiva to eat chazer, that's a bad taiva. I should try to get rid of it. I should try to work on that taiva. If I have a taiva to do something that's not intrinsically asur, so, you know, we can't say it's asur. Is it something that we recommend? A guy's got a taiva, he's got an unbelievable taiva. What's his taiva? He's got a tremendous taiva that he wants to sit and eat a lot of hot dogs and drink some beers and sit and watch a ball game. Is that an asur taiva per se? I mean, if the hot dog's kosher, the beer's not chomish lo v'pesach, and he turns off the commercials, you know, and the game is just, you know, just a simple, plain, straightforward game, nothing else inappropriate going on, I can't say the word usher. Is that something that we look to as a role model for a nice and upstanding, up-and-coming Ben Torah? No. But I can't say the word usher. Be careful. You can't say usher for something that's not usher. If you have to save the word usher for usher. Somebody listen. What? Yeah, okay, so again, so very good, excellent, very good. So I would say as follows. As a once in a while type of activity, I would say, you know, you should try to be kovish a little bit. It's not really an appropriate thing. So, you know, once in a while, you should look the other way. If it becomes that every Shen V'chamishi, I'm doing these kinds of activities, then it becomes a serious violation of the Ramban of Kedeshim Tiyah. Right, in Ochanan, 100%. So I think that's what Ramesh is saying here also. Ramesh is saying, the guy's got this little bit mashur, a little bit off the beaten path, taiva. We can't say it's asur. We could say it's legitimate. It's not terrible. It's legitimate. It's going to lead to Otzor Zera, but it's not going to be Otzor Zera what? Levatola, because it's not Levatola. It's a purpose. He has an agenda. He has a reason. The reason is somebody that the Torah doesn't come down hard on. The guy who doesn't want his wife to become pregnant because the Shul HaKashas Yofi, the Torah says that's totally not acceptable. The guy who doesn't want to be miyabim his wife because lolo yezer, totally not acceptable. The person who has this off-base taiva every once in a while, the Torah is not coming down on hard on him, and therefore we can't call a vatol. However, Zokhtar Moshe, what if he does it all the time? Every night, the same pismin, every time, the same story. Zokhtar Moshe says, then we have to be honest, we have to reassess what his motives are. There's no way Zokhtar Moshe, a normal human being, is going to say he has this taiva every time, dafka this way. That's not taiva anymore. You know what that's called? That's called a very old-fashioned style of birth control. That's all it is. That's not taiva. Then the goal is he's got to have another agenda. There's no way he could say with a straight face, Let him say that to the Rabban Shalom. When it comes to the Elam HaEmes, he'll explain away what his agenda was. We have to pass in the Shaila. The way it looks to us is, if you're doing it all the time, then there must be something else going on. You have an ulterior motive, and it's not that difficult to figure out what the ulterior motive is. You want to have your tithe and not have children. That's exactly what Otzah Zeh Levatol is all about. So that's where Moshe says, the void according to the Rebbe. So we now have how many Gemaras, how many Mamar Chazal do we have that are all pointing in the same direction, that on the one hand we have this terrible list of terrible, and on the other hand we find Gemaras that are minimizing this Isser. So one Gemara is what? Which is a Gemara? Subis Aflamites, or you also see Bama stuff. Was it Yubez and Bez? Right? The Gimel Nashim, right? So he has one example of a Gemara where we're doing something which smacks of Otzah Zeh Levatola. It's a Mokhidim Tashmish, according to Rashi, according to this version of the Ribidas Rashi. And we're still going to say it's okay, because it's called the Tzarech. Then we had another Gemara that was Yevamis Daflam Adalit. Right? Rabbi Lezer is right. That was what? That was Dashbi Befneim, right? Vechulei Dashbi Befneim Vechulei. Which also, at first glance, looks like a terrible violation of Maisi Eva Oynon, and Rabbi Eliezer at least said it was okay. And the Chum may have agreed to it also. Then you have a third example. That's the Shalei Kederech, which also at first glance smacks of a terrible violation of Eva Oynon, and we're minimizing it. The Reed one day is saying, not so bad, not so terrible, because it's the type, it's not Slavatol.
The
starting point is that it's also, we got it, if it's the Levatola, it's also, if it's Levatola, it's but then we have to find out, where do you draw that line? What's the threshold of Levatola?
Why is it that we assume that the reasons that it's also are limited to those two reasons, and if it's not the reasons of Eronin, then it opens up a whole...
So that's where the Ramosha may have differed from the Taisus Rid. The Taisus Rid is a little bit more limited. He's saying it's kind of like, do me a day of Eronin. Right, that was where Tzitzis Rid presented it. So Ramosh said he can't believe that. Ramosh said, but Tzitzis Rid is really driving at us, those are illegitimate tzarachim, implying that a legitimate tzarach would be mutter. So we, for our purposes, we're lumping together Ramosh with Tzitzis Rid, because Ramosh told us that.
And in terms of qualifying what's a legitimate or illegitimate reason,
so that's exactly what we're trying to figure out.
What's the basis for qualifying? I mean, it has to be managed those.
So you have to be really, really smart and to try to figure out, does this qualify, does it not qualify? That's exactly what, that's why you have to be chazal, to try to figure out. And that's what you can have maybe machleksim as to what's called legitimate need. So if you look at it, these are the three examples which are all falling into the category of it's shalom levatola. Right? The common denominator of all these three cases is it's shalom levatola. But if you look interesting at all three of these cases, we're not sure we postulate any of these cases. You know why? Why don't we postulate the Gimel Nashim? Because we hold what? We hold like the Chachamim. We hold there's no Tzairech. Because we hold, because the doctors have told us, the risk is .001, not enough to be concerned with. So we agree in Lomdus, Machlekes remain the Chachamim, and don't take this out of context. It's not a Torah Machlekes, it's a Mada Machlekes. It's not really a Mada Machlekes. It's really a Torah Machlekes, how to interpret the Mada. Everyone agrees that there's a certain degree of risk factor here. The question is that a legitimate halachic risk or not? But the machlekes licked in the medicine. The machlekes doesn't really lick in the world of shalom batala. The machlekes is, if anything, it's a machlekes in huchas sakana. The machlekes is how do you size up whether something is pikuach nefesh or not. So not a machlekes in huchas birth control. Huchas birth control, everyone agrees. Shalom batala is a nisa misa v'de shemayim. I'm sorry, levatala is a nisa misa v'de shemayim. Shalom batala is a hetar gomer. So it's interesting that the case, the sugya that we're learning, which is the ultimate case of Letzairech, at the end of the day, we happen not to postulate because we hold it's not Letzairech. What about over here? So this was also a great Gemara. That's what it says, a great Gemara. At the end of the day, we happen to hold for a total quirk, a fluke, that doesn't qualify as Letzairech. Why? Totally, totally a fluke. What's the fluke? The what? What's the fluke? What's the problem? Why do we accept Rabbi Eliezer? We said this yesterday.
This man
is off, because the timing is off, right? Right? Einam v'vasacha. So therefore, we can, according to the Chum de Rabbi Eliezer, we can no longer declare this Eltzah Zera L'Tzarech, because the Tzarech was gone 10 seconds ago, and now it's just a pure Levatola. So again, we don't fundamentally undermine this svara in the sugi of Lamed Aleph. We just happen not to pass it. So far, we're 0-2 lemaisa. Okay. Then you have shalak yedarech. Well, guess what? We're not even sure we pass it like this. You know why? How do you know he passed like the second day of the ring? Maybe the first day of the ring is right. So comes the Moshe and solves that one also. Comes the Moshe and says, no. Says, the first day in the ring also buys into the svar of Levatala versus Shalol, Levatala Tzarech versus Shalol Tzarech. The Nakudas of Machloikis in the first day and the second day is not a Machloikis in Uchus birth control. You know what it's a Machloikis in? It's a Machloikis is that a legit, I mean it is Machloikis in Uchus birth control, but it's not a Machloikis about the klal of Atal and Tzarech. It's a Machloikis about what? Everyone agrees that if it's the tzarech, it's mutter, if it's the batal, it's also. What's the machlekes? Is that called a tzarech? Does it tzarech? So the second day in Tosfos, you know, the second day in the real looked the other way and said, all right, the guy wants to have a hot dog once in a while with a beer. All right, you know, we'll let you go once in a while. I.e., we'll let you go once in a while. It's a legitimate tzarech for the person to have this mishagas once in a while, biyish lekiderech. The first day in Tosfos, first day in the real says, what? This guy's a mishugana, get over it. Right? Go get from it. It's ridiculous. That's not a legitimate tzarech. That's an illegitimate tzarech. If it's illegitimate tzarech, then it falls into what category again? Small technicality. So comes Ramesh and says, once again, the Nakudas of Achlekes in the 2 days in the Ri are there guidelines of tzarech versus shalom tzarech? Everyone agrees to that. The Machlekes is, did this meet the criteria of Litzarech or not? That's the Nakudas of Machlekes. So we don't paskin. Maybe we paskin the first day of the ring. Maybe we hold that just a taiva is not really a tzarech. So it comes out that we don't really know of any case that really, for sure, with absolute certainty, meets the criteria of being mutter. Believe it or not, we have no idea. We don't have a case that's mutter. Lemais and Shachor, we don't have a case that's mutter. The Gimel Nashim, we don't have because we pass like the Chacham's risk assessment. In the case of Yevamos, we pass like the Chacham's time assessment. Over here, we may pass in like the first day of the Ri's time assessment. So it could be that all three cases, or each one is highlighting a sheet that it's not accepted la halacha. So it's a great yesod, but there's nothing left to it. Very depressing, so yeah. Unless we could say as follows. What if we create a case, a fourth case that doesn't exist in the Gemara, that meets the criteria of Tzerech B'li Shum Sofer? If I could create that phantom case, so then I'm back in business. And now I'll have a case that'll be Mutl Choladeus. This is all again, we're going to Ramunas Acham here. Ramesha is taking us through the Sugya, we're holding on to the Heliger Ramesha. Not a simple thing. Ramesha's Chus. Moshe. I told you it's Chus of Moshe. I'll tell you the mice, it's Chus of Moshe. I told you the FDR drive, what happened with Moshe. Never told you a story. This goes back to my wife, when we used to live in the Heights. My wife used to work in Brooklyn. So she used to drive 3 days a week, she used to drive to Borough Park. She used to drive up and down the FDR. So one day, on the way back from work, she was towards the end of a pregnancy. I don't know, Tova, my app, I forgot already which one, but she was ready towards the end of pregnancy, and all of a sudden she got a flat tire on the FDR. And there were no cell phones or whatever it was, the Lamaisa. She was like, it was not a pretty scene. It was, I don't think she realized at the time, it was right by the exit of Grand Street, right? Is there an exit Grand Street? Right where Moshe lived on the FDR, 455, I think, FDR Drive. Mamish right by his apartment, overlooked where this saga happened. She told me, Kachava, she said, she pulled over to the side, totally frantic. A fellow pulled up behind her, clearly not Jewish, and asked her what the problem was. She just got a flat tire. No problem. We'll take care of it in a second. She wanted to thank him. She wanted to give him something, give him a little bit of money. So I said, lady, it's on the house. Drove off. I said, Milan of Ramesha, Ramesha's chus. I said to her, when she told me exactly what it was, I said, do you realize that Ramesha sat at that window for the last 60 years, learning over overlooking that spot on the FDR Drive? I said, who knows what Siat Dishmaya was in that moment. Can't take Ramesha lightly. So we're following Ramesha's footsteps. So Zakhtar Ramesha, Dr. Moshe, this case may fail, and this case may fail, and this case may not even sure succeed. Everything's failing, but I'm going to create you a fourth case as a rashi. Everyone's going to agree to. I'm going to go back to the laboratory, back to medical school. So after Moshe, I'm going to find you a case that even the Chachamim will agree to Rabbi Meir. It's not the Gimel Nashim, it's the fourth woman who could be Meshameshes L'Mochel Choladeus. Why did the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir? Why? Why did the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir? Because what did they believe in? What was their famous klal? Shob B'Sarim Hashem. Because they said the odds of this happening, the little girl, the 11-year-old is going to get pregnant, it's so unlikely. The Muberish is going to become pregnant again, and it's going to, the odds that it's happening, medical literature, I don't know, Dachmer, you have to do the research for me. Has it ever been documented, such a thing? No, we're not sure. Okay, we don't know. The Menika, even the Menika becoming pregnant, first of all, it's so unlikely she's going to become pregnant. And even if she does, it's so far removed that she's going to stop nursing and the baby's going to die. It's really, 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 really far-fetched. Rabbi Meir wouldn't take any risks. Kuch Nefesh, Shat Kuch Nefesh, called it Tzerech. And the Rabbanan turned around to Rabbi Meir and says, Shom Epesayim Hashem. Dr. Moshe, Shom Epesayim Hashem doesn't mean you could be foolish. I mean, that's what the word Pesi means, but it doesn't mean you could be a Mamash and not. Shom Epesayim Hashem is a klal in halacha. That means when there's a certain risk, and Rabbi Moshe develops what the klal is, that people generally don't take this risk too seriously, the oilam doesn't address itself, it's not misyachis to this risk. Those are kinds of risks you're allowed to take. At the end of the day, you're allowed to get into a car and drive, you're allowed to walk across the street, you're allowed to get out of bed in the morning. There's always a 0.001% chalila to get into a car accident. You're allowed to do those kinds of things. That's not a risk. That's Shom B'Sayim Hashem. But what if it's not Shom B'Sayim Hashem anymore? What if it's Shom Shaitim Hashem? You don't have him. The guy's Mamish Hashem. He does something which is Mamish. The experts in the medical world say this is a real bona fide risk. This is something dangerous. And I'm not here to put statistics on when you say that, when you know that. But it's been Yadua before. So this action is dangerous. And you are potentially putting your life in danger. What would the Chum say about that? They would see eye to eye with Rabbi Meir in this one. So for Moshe, we have many cases, there are many, many medical conditions where the best up-to-date medical opinion will say, do not become pregnant. It is dangerous to become pregnant. You have, you want a list? I'm not an OBGYN, I can give you a half-baked list of different conditions. Plenty of conditions out there, right? Plenty of conditions which are especially dangerous. Comes to Moshe and says, once it's dangerous, really, truly dangerous, then the Chachamim can no longer hide behind Shom B'Sayim Hashem, and Rabbi Meir becomes right. If Rabbi Meir becomes right, and it's no longer called Levatala, then the Tzairich would be Mutter. So that it would be Mutter for this fourth woman to be Meshameshes B'moich. And what does Meshameshes B'moich mean? It means B'moich Kaidim Tashmish. This is all the reason Kaidim Tashmish. It's the worst of the earth. It's Matal Zahar Leitzim Elavonim. It's a disaster. It's a Nisanira. It's a Misanir Shemayim under normal circumstances. And it becomes Het Gomor because it's not called Levatala anymore. That's the beginnings of the Tshuva of Rabbi Moshe. He needed 20 pages, right, as he's writing over the Lower East Side, right, 20 pages to get, I think this particular tshuva was written in Europe, if I'm not mistaken, he takes 20 pages to get to the punchline, and then he says, now that I prove to you that everybody buys into this Levatala story, the Gemara in Subas, the Gemara in Yivamis, the Gemara in Nadarim, all these Gemara point in the same direction, and true, this we don't pass, again, yet, we don't pass, again, and maybe we don't pass, but the Yesod is true, and if we could plug in a case where it's relevant, it will change the world, it will change our outlook towards the Meshamshus B'moch B'zman Hazeh. That's the background of Moshe's truth. So we're going to put a little bit of this on hold now before we get to the Lamais applications that will probably be more into tomorrow's Shia. But just remember how far Moshe took us so far. Rabbi Sai, let's backtrack now to the main part of the sugya. The main part of the sugya was to understand Shittas Rashi and to play this side of Rashi, like the Rebbe was saying, that's a Moich Kedem Tashmish. And again, Moich Kedem Tashmish is an Issa Gamor, except for these cases, Letzarach, whatever you want to say. Come a group of other Rishonim and throw a different kasha at Rashi's pshat. A totally different vantage point of a kasha. Rashi's entire pshat, assuming that's Mechanim Tashmish, is that there's some kind of an issa that we have to overcome. If it ain't also, then there's no reason to be mad for it. There's some kind of an issa that we have to overcome, and the issa is obviously Hotzar Zer Levatol. And we worked really, really hard to overcome it, but that's the goal, according to Rashi. It's got to create some kind of an issa on the books here. Come to Shidman Kabatis and quotes in the name of the Talmud HaRashba. I think it was on the Maamar Kamis. Talmud HaRashba. Oh, we got Talmud HaRashba. Oh, we got the fancy Shita here. Getting ready for an argument. Okay. It's been a long year. which were, where are we up to? Masha Pirish, Chaykos Atamid Rashma. The Masha Pirish Rashi Eno Nochoin. Dimkein, Rabbanan de Ka'ame, Mishameshas Kedaki, Relechas, Mishamam Yirachamu, Asur Lishamish B'moich. It's obvious that Rabbi Meir was the Mat, and the Chum were the As, were the Osrim. Why would the Chum the Osrim? Because the Chumim held that it's so unlikely she's going to become pregnant in the first place, there's really almost nothing to worry about. Right? So since the Chum didn't justify this as a legitimate Tzarech, it's called Levatola, and it becomes Osir Al Tzar Zer Levatola. Right? Kum the Tamar Rashman says, why is it Osir? We've named my Neser son, Achash Ein Kanash Chasa Zera. The Layamrina Nashchasa Zera, Ela Kishu Roy Lahazria. Hear this kasha? This is an unbelievable kasha. No? What's the kasha? What's the Talmud Rashi's kasha? He undermines the entire Issa. He says, who says there's an Issa in the first place? Vishtek there's an Issa, the Issa is Hotzor Zera Levatala. Zok the Talmud Rashi, Hotzor Zera Levatala means you have to destroy something that's Zera. Zera doesn't just mean biologically, it has to be Zera, Roy Lazria. You're removing the potential to bring a baby about. That's what you're doing. That's the nature of the Yisrael Shchaz Zera. You're being Mazria Bachutz, you're doing Ma'atul Zahar Leitzim Avonim, you're doing Shalakat, whatever you want to call it. This Zera could have resulted in pregnancy, and you're doing something actively not. That's the Yisrael Deraitz of Otzah Zela Batola. Frekta Tawad Arashba, this woman's not becoming pregnant anyway. You know why? Because the odds of her becoming pregnant are 99.999 against it. You know why? Because she's 11 years old, or she's already pregnant, or she's a menika. The Chachamim was so convinced she's not going to become pregnant, they didn't think it was a legitimate need. Frek the Tamar Rash, but good. That's the reason why she'd be mutter. Since it's so impossible, almost impossible for her to become pregnant, that should qualify as not a Zera Roy Lazaria. If it's not a Zera Roy Lazaria, the whole issue shouldn't apply in the first place. Now that's a kasha. That's a sharp kasha. The other direction this kasha is, everyone's attacking Rashi. Poor Rashi. Whatever Rashi is saying, everyone's saying he's wrong. Rashi said, it starts out being Osir, now it becomes Mutter. So we spent all of day yesterday trying to figure out, if it's really Osir, why has it become Mutter? The Talmud Rashi flips the kasha and says, hey, wait a second, why is it Osir in the first place? Why do you need a grandiose het to call Masham Shas B'Meroich, which the Chacham hold is Osir? The Chacham says, but Rabbi Meir was Matr, is the Nisadir Aisa, the Talmud Rashi should be Mutter Lagamri, because it's not real Zriya Bechlal. Yeah, it's a question on the whole sugya. The whole sugya according to Rashi is that everything's asr and Rabbi Meir is being mafter and the Chum say, no, it's not mutter, it's still asr. Why is it asr?
The lashon of the Chum is Gemara, isn't necessarily. The lashon you can fit into is say exactly that the Chum is saying exactly the.
But the Chum is saying that everything's okay? No. The starting point of the sugya is that it's asr and Rabbi Meir is trying to solve a problem. The Chum who don't like the solution of Rabbi Meir are left with the original listener. So you want to say the Machoz Rameh and the Rabbanan is what? So Rabbi Meir says, Gimel Nashim are Misham Shas B'moch, and the Chumim say, Gimel Nashim are Misham Shas B'moch.
No, not Misham Shas B'moch, but that he's saying like...
You so you tell him...
Because there's no
Sakana. No, because there's no
Sal. So you're telling me that the Chumim are saying what? So the Chumim and Rabbi Meir are... Rabbi Meir is the Machmir. He's saying you have to use a moch, and the Chumim is saying, no, you don't have to use it. That's Rabbi Natam's Pshat. According to Rashi, the Nekudas of Machlokes is it Asr or is it Mutter? So Rabbi Meir came up with a great Kula, a great Heter, and the Chum say, no, we don't buy into Heter. We don't think that's a good Heter. What? Rashi says, according to Rabbi Meir, it's Mutter ve'enen kebashchiso zera. Therefore, if you don't accept Rabbi Meir, it's Asr. Why is it Asr? V'smashchaso zera, it's not Re'el Azriya. That's the Talmud Rashi Piskasha. No, but nobody could say there's a strong reason. Obviously the Chum is saying, there's nothing to worry about. No, just chill out, nothing's going to happen. That's the Chum is saying. Yeah, I don't think you need a motion for that. Everyone's saying that.
I've never said it's not a Chum desire. It's not like Kim Ashkita Zara, meaning that it's okay. It is
Chum desire,
just that.
But I want to know, according to Chum, what's the issue according to Chum?
According to Chum, they hold it is Chum desire.
Why? She's not going to become pregnant. Beinenu, she's pregnant already. She's not going to come pregnant. The one in a billion chance that she'll become pregnant again.
Not because Sakana. Sakana overrides the issue.
So according to the Chacham, it's mutter. According to her mayor, it's mutter.
No, the Chacham say that Sakana doesn't override, so it should be awesome.
But that's the Talmud Rashi was asking. Why is it also? Based on what? This Zera is Mishkin Zera. This is not a Zera that's subject to the issue.
No,
it's also
hold
on.
You didn't say that.
So that's the implication of the sugya. Remeir is coming to be mat something. It sounds like before Remeir came along, everyone thought it was also. Remeir had to break his head to find the heter. What do you find the heter for? What do you need heter for? It's mutter because it was never also in the first place. You see, you're timing that you don't understand where the Talmud Rashi is coming from.
No, I'm saying perhaps you could answer that. You could equate using the mode, which is the Reeve Rashi from Eitan Avonu, is the same thing as him by himself.
Okay. So you're already beginning towards the answer. Okay. So comes Rabbi Kivega in Tshuva, quotes the Rashi, quotes the Talmud Rashi's Kasha against Rashi. And since Rabbi Kivega, we have to take a step back and go back to the drawing board, go back to the basics, according to Rashi. The starting point is there's an Isser. Ramea is trying to solve the Isser, to circumvent the Isser. Starting point is there was an Isser. The Isser was Atzah Zelav Atzah. Whose Isser was it? I can think of one of two people responsible for this Isser. Either the man's Isser. He's the one who's doing the mice of Atzah Zel of Atzah, Mount was all Eitzim Avonim. Or, I come up with another quirk, another possibility. Who's that? Maybe she's the one who's doing this. You know why? She's putting the moch in. So she's setting up a situation of Atzah Zera. Now again, this is, now I don't want to go yet down the route of whether she's Chayevah Atzah Zera. That's the second half of Rashi. That's the other pshat. We're still in the first part of Rashi. That there's some kind of an issue here. There's no question, according to this first version of the Reba, that's Rashi, there's something really, really radically wrong with what's taking place here. If not for Rabbi Meir's solution of Gimel Nashim, of Sakana, there's something terribly wrong going on. I want to know who's wrong is it? Who's the Veir? Who's the Baal Aveir here? I have three choices. Him, her, or both. For none of the above. Someone's got to be over this here. Either his Isser, her Isser, or both of his Isser.
Rabbi, at the time that it's her Isser, Rabbi is assuming that she's fighting
Ashkenazi. Yeah, you have to say that, yeah. So comes Rabbi Kivega and says, this is not just a question of who is the one who we're pinning the blame on. There's more to it than that, says Rabbi Kivega. The very nature of the Isser is different if it's his or if it's hers. Comes Rabbi Kivega and says, if it's her Isser, you can't call the Isser Hotzua Zera Levatola. The words don't make any sense. First of all, she's not being Maitzi Zera. If it's her Isser, then we have to focus on the fact that she's doing a Maise, not a Maise of Hotzua Zera. It's more of a Maise of what? It's not so much a Maise of Hotzua Zera, it's a Maise of Hashchosa Zera. Hashchasa Zera, the nature of such an Isser of Hashchasa Zera means that this Zera could potentially result in a child. If everything would be left alone, this could be a life in formation, and you are interceding, you're interfering with that potential formation of a life. That's what the Isser of Hashchasa Zera is. So comes Rabbi Kivega and says, if that's the Isser, the focus of the Isser is Hashchasa Zera. It's the woman, she's not being Meitzi Zera, she's being Mashcha Zera. And the focus is on potential life of the Zera. So then the Talmud Rashi was a really, really good question. It says, Tachlis, we all know this Zera will not result in a life. I'm telling you that with 100%, 99.99% certainty, this Zera will not result in a life. So tell me the Nisr. What Isser is she doing? She's being Maitzi Zera Gaval. She's not being Maitzi Zera. She's physically not being Maitzi Zera. The worst that she's doing is being Mashcha Zera. The Isser of Hashchasa Zera is almost like the undoing of the possibility of having children. That's what Hashchasa Zera is all about. And under normal circumstances, a woman would be problematic for a woman to do that. But over here, when Balavach, she's never going to become pregnant, you can't ask her it. That's exactly what Talmud Rashi was tied against Rashi. Well, how would Rashi respond? Rashi would respond, you got the wrong Isser. It's not her Isser. Whose Isser is it? Whose Isser is it, Rabbi say? It's his Isser. Why? What was the mashal Sabbi Shadim used as an illustration? Kematal Zahar le'etzer lavonim. That has nothing to do with babies. It has nothing to do with children. There's a separate, independent Isser in the Torah called Meshichas Arza. To be mighty Zer levatal. Zer is only supposed to be for Gufa Isha in the normal circumstances of Tashmish. Any other Hotzah Zer is off limits. This particular woman, B'lavach, he won't become pregnant? He doesn't have to do with anything. So what? Irrelevant, says Rabbi Kivager. The only time you can make that cheshbon that the woman will or will not become pregnant, that's going to minimize the Isser. That makes sense if you're focusing on her Isser. But the minute you take it out of her realm, into the realm of Hatzozeh Levatala, it's not Isser Vashchosseh, it's Isser Hatzozeh Levatala. To him it's us, he's being Maitzi Zera Levatala. She won't become pregnant anyway. So, I'm eating Chazir. So somebody else would be in the Chazir. So, what do you mean? So, I did the Maitzi Isser. So Rikki Vega says, he's not so convinced that this time of the Talmud Rashba is going to deflect Rashi. So Baruch Hashem, everybody say, we are home free. We still have a pshat. We still have a working pshat in Rashi. We had a lot of work to do with this pshat. We had to explain what the Isser was. Again, this is all assuming the Reed's version of Rashi is correct. Let's talk about a Merkadim Tashmish. So we had to really work hard to defend what the Isser is. We had to work really even harder to defend why it should be Mutter. And Baruch Hashem, we succeeded. We have a working pshat B'das Rashi. So we're back to Rashi, number one. It's a Meich Kedem Tashmish. There should have been an Isser, right? Notwithstanding the Talmud HaRashba, we can explain why there should have been an Isser. And now we understand why there's a Heter. We'll call this Reb Moshe, explaining away the nature of the Heter of Mutzarech, etc. So we have a pretty good working shot. It took us 2 days to get there, but we have a working shot with us, Rashi.
Doesn't Rashi use the language of Mashbi?
It depends where Rashi uses that Lashon. Yeah, Rashi in different places, slightly different nuances. Where is great. The Chacham say, there's an Isser Gomer for the man to be Maitzi Zera Levatola. We don't accept that that's called a legitimate Tzorech, therefore it's Levatola. Which won't become pregnant, big deal. Shomim Sam tells us that your concern is not a legitimate concern. Your concern of Rabbi Meir, that it's your concern that made it impossible to justify having Tashmish out of milk is not legitimate. Because your statistics are wrong. Your medical analysis that this is not correct. Comes Tosis now, comes the Ri, and gives a whole different approach to Rashi. This is all Rashi number one. Rashi number two, it's a different form of Gamra. What is it? Where's the Moch? Moch Liachet Tashmish. Namely, Rashi never dreamt in a million years we could ever dream of being Matir, Moch Kadim Tashmish. That's out of the question. Rashi never heard of Lutzayrech, we don't pass like Rebbe Elazar, we don't pass like this, we don't pass like that. There's no such act. The whole Ramosha's Shuv is gone. Says the Ri, we're talking about a Moch Le'achat Tashmish. So now we have a little bit of a problem. If it's a Moch Le'achat Tashmish, no, help me out, Rabbi Say, help me out. If it's a Moch Le'achat Tashmish, give me a hand. What? Whose Isser is it? It's not his. What did he do wrong? He didn't even know she's putting it in a Moch. Whether he did know or didn't know, it's irrelevant. He had Derek. As Taisa said, it's like being Bolak Tana, being Bolan Islandess, Bolish the Mubaris. What's the Het the Gomes, Katesh Tashvish der Chalaritz. Elawat. What's the potential Isser here? The potential Isser is, oh my goodness, what? What's the terrible Isser? She's going to stick in a mochi afterwards, drawing out the Zera, destroying the Zera. That's a no-no, that's bad, that's terrible. That's a big problem. Baruch Hashem, Gimel Nosh Mesham Shas B'Loich. That's where we're there. Why did Tosis veer away from this pshat in the first place? What did Rabbeinu Tam not like about this pshat? What was this assuming, Rabbi Say? That there's an Isser on a woman to be Mashka Zera. Rabbeinu Tam says, Lo hayu dvar me'aylam, there never was such an Isser. Women were never in the parish of Ashkos Zera. That Isser was never given to women, only given to half of the world's population, never given to women. What led Rabbeinu Tam to believe that? No. Who remembers? What led Rabbeinu Tam to believe that? Because it's Rabbeinu Tam said, well, it's obvious, Dr. Rabbeinu Tam, If women are pturus from puruvu, so the pturus from mitzvah zera. That was the equation of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam just flippantly said, not flippantly, but just quickly told us that, yeah, women are not chayavos in this whole parasha. Everyone doesn't speak to the women because puruvu doesn't speak to the women. So therefore, once you say that, then the whole shot of this whole second attempt to Rashi is obviously cannot fly. So Rashi is hanging on now for dear life. The second version of Rashi, the re-second version, is hinging on the obligation of women in the Yisra of Ashos Zera. Menohan Emili, how do you know? How do you deflect Rabbeinu Tam?
Because Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Tam, even on the Al Tzad, that Puruvu and Ashos Zera are not connected, but there still is a...
This is it's still mutter because it's not Hotzah Zera, because Zera is already out of the body, right? That's the Rush throws an added a fuel to the fire. Because the Rush says that even if for some reason you can tell me the two Yisurim are not connected, or the Yisur and the Mitzvah is not connected, Rabbeinu Tam had problems with viewing this as Hotzah Zera because it's not Motzi Zera. You're not being Motzi. Zera is out already. Unless, of course, you just revamp the Yisur and call it Hashkosa Zera, right? So we're not going to spend too much time on that in Nakuda, but you're right. Because the Rush did have that objection. So Rabbi, where do we go from here in terms of the second version of Rashi? So we have two options available for us. Logically, conceptually, what are the two ways to defend Rashi? Rabbi Tamar Kasha Gevalt. Gevalt Geshrigin, Hotzah Zera, and Hashkosa Zera is all part of the Parsha Puruvu, Gevalt, and therefore women shouldn't be included. How would you respond to the Gevalt of Rabbeinu Tam? One of two ways, conceptually. Okay, so I don't know if we want to dig up a real broker for this one.
That the women, although they may not have the same cube as the men, they have
Okay. So I wouldn't have thought that as the first response. I would call that the second response. But you said it. I'll write it on the board in the place of the second response. Namely, what David's telling us is like this. Rabbeinu Tam's fundamental yesod is emes lamitay. Namely, Puruvu and Hashkos Zera are two sides of the same coin. They're like chametz and matzah. They're like shatnez and tzitzis. Like they're just like cousins. What you chayv in one, you chayv in the other. You know, they're not really true about shatnez and tzitzis, but just kidding. But like the two go hand in hand. Zocha v'shama v'dibur rechamim. The two go hand in hand. Nobody will argue with this Rabbeinu Tam. So how come Rashi says women are chayavos in the Yisra of Hashkos Zera? Because that sweeping statement that I said a few minutes ago, women are pturos from Puruvu. Everybody knows women are no shaychas and mitzvah Puruvu. Totally pturos. I'm not so convinced that statement is true. Even though I do know the Mishnah in the end of the sixth parak of Yevamos that says it, I'm not 100% convinced that it's totally true. Maybe we have to change gears and change sugyas and stop talking about Hashkos Zera and go back to the sugyas of Puruvu and see that maybe women do have some shaychas in the mitzvah Puruvu. Maybe that shaychas of Puruvu is enough for them to somehow get stuck in the Yisra of Hashkos Zera. So this mahalach that I was suggesting is we are not undermining the equation between Hashkos Zera and Puruvu. We're assuming that it's real, not literally equal, but they're really part of the same parasha. But we're going to do some work on Noshim to Puruvu. We're gonna dig up some sugyas, or make up some gemaras, or dig up some, or at least reinterpret some, to try to show you that a woman's tour from Peruvu is not as absolute as you may think initially that it is. But we don't want to question this equation. We don't want to take Hotzah Zera out of the realm of Peruvu. We like Rabbeinu Tam's mindset. Of course, there's a much easier way to defend Rashi and say that who says the two have anything to do with each other? Who says the two have anything to do with each other? Puruvu l'chud and Hashkos Zera l'chud. They have nothing to do with each other. Two different categories, two different areas of Allah. So both of these ideas are found in Rishonim. Anyone saw the sugya in the beginning of second parak of Maseches Nida? Anyone saw the Gilyon HaTosis? Is that what I called it? Right? Why is it called the Gilyon HaTosis? It's on the Gilyon, it's on the margin. They forgot to put it into the regular Tyson, so they threw it in as an afterthought. So they call it the Gilyon Tysis. And what does it say? It's a Tysis. What does Tysis say? You need about more glasses for this one. Okay. The 8. That's all. That's enough. What did Gilna Taisa just say? He just said, we agree with you, B'amun HaShleim, we accept totally that women of Legame Mufkos and Peruvu. There's no mitzvah, no chiyav, no kiyav, nothing. Women are not chiyav and Peruvu. But they are chiyav and Hashkos HaZera for a very simple reason. Hashkos HaZera is what kind of a din in the Torah? Is it a mitzaseh or a mitzvah losaseh? Again, it's not explicit losaseh in the sense that it doesn't say low, but the Torah is describing actions, behavior that should not be happening. That's like a losaseh. And it's for sure an onesh, haray, the Torah says, chavis b'deshemayim. What's the general rule about women's obligation in onshin, in isurim? What's the general rule? Women are the same as men. How do you know that? Because what does it say in the Chumash? Isha, isha, ki yasim go chatas ha'adam. More of a sex condition. Ish, it's a possible Chumash. Isha, ki yasim go chatas ha'adam. Namely, when it comes to mitzvah saseh, so then we have klolim, we have distinctions. Mitzvah saseh is grow, and not grow, you can pilp, you can discuss. When it comes to Yisur, when it comes to Einshin, women are the exact same as men. No difference whatsoever except for three. And those are three quirks, Yeltsin Ben Akla. Who remembers them? Baltashkas, Baltakif, and Baltatamal Mason, right? A woman can cut off her payas. If she goes, see us in the face, she can shave it. And if she's a Basko, and she can go be Matamal Mason. Those are three. Yeltsin Ben Akla, they have none. Sukkim, Yasakosovs. By and large, the Mishnah condition says, Cholos Esther Shabbatar, women can't do Malacha on Shabbos, and they can't do Malacha on Yavdiv, and they can't eat Treif, and they can't talk Lashon Hara, they can't Lashanis, and they can't be Mashka Zerah, because Hashka Zerah is an Isser, it's an Einesh, it's an Azara, and therefore, women are obligated. Aye, women are Pturus from Peruvu, what's the answer? They're not doing each other. Finished. The two separate Alechas. One's a Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, one's a Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. They have nothing to do with each other. Finished. One's an Asay, one's a Los Asay. Bechlal, they're different from one another. That's the Gilna Taisa's defense. Anyone saw any other approach in Rishonim? They put a Ritva on the mountains. You got it here? Kloimar. The Afal Gav, look to Ritvon Hasugya. The Afal Gav is Sola Mifkida Pirvarivya. Asura Lahashchis Zera Baila. What did Ritvon just say? Even though she's not included in Purvu, but she's still not allowed to be Mashchis Zera Baila. And then, just in case she wants a historical background for that, historical precedent. For Kulan Loka Bidor Hamabul. The Gemara describes the chait, one of the chatoim of the door, many chatoim of the door Hamabul. One of the chatoim was certain acts of Hashchos Zera. And we don't find that the women were spared. The Torah describes pretty clearly the women ended up were also killed in the door Hamabul. So the Ritva explained to you, and then he brought a proof to you. He explained Asurus Lahashchos Zera Baila. What do you think that Ritva meant? You think he meant what the Gilna Taisa meant? There's an extra word in there. What's the extra word? Bailo. What is Bailo? You should say, Asuras Ahashka Zera. Finished. Zera Bailo. The Ritva is telling me what the Metzia says. I need the Ritva to tell me that it's Zera Bailo. I can't figure it out on my own. Zera Bailo. What is the meaning of that phrase, Ahashka Zera Bailo? So stay tuned, Metzia, for tomorrow to figure out what in the world that Ritva meant. The Ritva may be the other side of this equation. Again, this is all Rashi. We haven't even talked about Ben Atam yet. We've just seen Rashi as Rashi. We have two Biyurim in Rashi. First one took a lot of work on, but we worked it out. The second one was still right smack in the middle of. Hopefully, from tomorrow, we'll solve the dilemma of Rashi. We'll move to Ben Atam and see how some of this works.